Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, tech companies refute the DACA, Trump's DACA situation. Mercedes is giving you title, and Walmart is going after Amazon. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech. Can't understand it.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down tech news, nerd culture from a black and brown perspective. I'm Joe Braswell. That's Akili Shine. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Living well.
Well.
Little Brother, one of my favorite groups. Ninth Wonder. Fonte. Big shouts.
Big shouts. Excellent production by Ninth Wonder. Everything is great. I don't know. Wait, they're from North Carolina?
Yeah.
And Fonte's on. Do you ever listen to Questlove's podcast? I guess it's more of a radio show on Pandora?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't have a Pandora subscription. Well, I don't even listen. I don't even have Pandora as an app.
Yeah, I am anti-Pandora. Hated Pandora. And then till Questlove Supreme, I heard about it. And I got it just for that. I don't think I paid for it, though. But anyway, it's excellent. It's Questlove, it's Fonte, Quest, couple of the folks, and they do these long, long deep dives with everybody. Spike was just on, did a two-part deep dive, broke every movie down. Like I said, I think I told you, like, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis is on there, four-parter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is good stuff. That's good stuff. And the musical knowledge between, like, Fonte and Quest is, like, pretty crazy.
Absolutely. Those are both musicologists. So I'm pretty sure that show is phenomenal in terms of the takes and what they're able to explore historically, contemporarily. But yeah. I think, yeah, those are both culturalists that I love. Yeah. So,
yeah, I didn't know Fonte was like had it like that.
Of course he does.
Exactly. That's what I'm like. That's exactly what I said to myself. I'm like,
well, how could you? Oh, that's a huge statement. I did not know.
Well, I mean, it's like. It's one thing, like, there's a lot of rappers who
is he like Uzi Vert
no, to I'm you? Not like,
he's like, I did not, I had no idea.
No, I'm not saying he's like
oh
Uzi
my
Vert.
Gosh.
I meant like, I wasn't surprised. I'm like, oh, that's why I kept fun of myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, Fonte. I'm like, well, of course. What I expect him to be like, you know?
Right.
With that catalog and then those rhymes and lyrics and everything else. So, anyway. We got some news, some news happened over the, yesterday, I believe, the day before yesterday, President Trump decided to, wind down, the DACA situation that Obama really felt strongly about, pushing through, leaving possibly as many as 800,000, dreamers as people who were born here, because their parents came from another country and they're born here, probably have been raised here their whole lives, work here, serve here in the military, are living here. And
not even the ones that are born here, some that are born, you know, in their native country, but raised here.
Like but raised said, here, yeah. That's right, yeah. And and people who, you know, who are now being forced to go back to their country that they may not know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, aside from how the cruelty of that, I have a ton of thoughts on that, but we could save it. But CEOs are stepping up. Tim Cook of Apple says he's going to fight for his 250 dreamers. He's got Apple alone. He's got people in every department, and then say these people are integral to what happens at Apple.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, this is. You think they'll make a difference if these companies could step up like Apple?
I mean, I think any type of application makes a difference. Anytime someone or entity is vocal. And they're willing to, you know, take a political position with their brand or with their company is a strong statement. And so when a company such as a company that's influential like Apple that's doing that and the CEO is doing that, I think it makes people do some reflecting, do some researching, starts a conversation. And the fact that, I mean, it's personal to him. It's not just a statement like, hey, he has, you know, dreamers in his infrastructure, in his organization. So people that work in his retail stores, people that help engineer the products that he sells. He has people that are, you know, in the research and development department. So like that affects his bottom line. The fact that, I mean, I think one of his lines was, their dreams are our dreams. It's like, there's no separation. So the fact that policy is being struck down affects, you know, business. It affects bottom lines. It affects, you know, not just, you know, our social, cultural, moral fabric, but it affects all the inner workings of what this country is about. So, I mean, companies like Apple, it's not the first time they've taken a stand. They've done stuff with environmental causes. They've done stuff with women's rights. So this is another one where, you know, they could add it to the book of them advocating, you know, more equality or more fairness. And so I respect that.
Yeah, I do too. That's very, very well said. And it's not just Apple. I mean, there's tech communities are coming out left and right. A lot of CEOs are coming up. You know, Mark Zuckerberg has come, has a statement and put a letter through their site, which I've never heard of, called fwd.us. I don't know what that is. I didn't know that. That must be a Facebook site. So anyway, he published an open letter to Trump. Also, Sundar Pichai from Google as well. I can't say any of his names. Dara Kakahosa.
I can't with you.
John Zimmer. All these folks. We're talking about Uber, Lyft, Google, and Microsoft. All these, and Twitter. Yeah. All stand by dreamers. I mean, that's pretty much like the Mount Rushmore of tech right now.
Absolutely.
And from the sounds of these names, these folks are also feel like there's some immigrants, or definitely have some immigrant parents.
I'm pretty sure of that. I mean, I think it's interesting, man, like that you know, are applauding Mark Zuckerberg right now.
You're not bringing back to Zuck. Zuck is just following. He's just
I think
following.
That's the most interesting part about this conversation, yeah, is that you actually gave him a compliment.
Nah, he's just following.
Okay.
His name was on the list. Now, I got to give. I mean, Zuck is doing what he's doing with his company, and he's got his own agenda. But when it's time to step up and do the right thing, with the exception of the whole fake news situation, he seems to be doing the right thing. I still don't like his sort of hands off. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the news. Zuck's not all evil.
Yeah, man. Hey, I think it's great. You know, we talk about a lot on the show how companies, brands need to have a strong sense of social responsibility. And this is a great opportunity for, you know, tech companies that are so influential to be able to do that and influence smaller companies, influence young minds, all minds.
Right.
And so this is great because, I mean, we all spend a lot of our time. We invest a lot of our energy utilizing their platform. So, hey, these platforms are speaking back to us. And I think that's great.
Yeah, it's very true. Speaking of platforms... Your boy, your guy, my
no
guy
way.
Too. Oh, yeah, he's your guy. He's my guy too. Jay-Z.
Okay. I don't know what you was about to say. Usually it's bad, so I was like, no
your
way.
Guy, Trump.
Shut it down.
Your
now.
Guy Sessions. No.
Right.
No. Looks like Tidal now is Tidal's like kind of a little bit of a bumpy year. Kanye leaving and they had three CEOs in 2 years and Jay-Z's 444 release had some hiccups, you know, in terms of not being available to new subscribers. But as this article points out in Gadget, they're still relevant, and mainly because they these amazing strategic partners they have. Their partnership with Sprint has really paid dividends
right. For
them, and really allowed them to still be in a lot of people are Tidal subscribers because a lot of people have Sprint,
right?
And it's a deal. And so now they're doing a deal with Mercedes-Benz. If you buy a new Mercedes-Benz, it's giving all of its customers a year of Tidal, not just Tidal Hi-Fi for a full year. Now, of course, it's very similar to deals people deal with. GM did with like satellite radio, with Sirius Radio and XM, yeah, and that whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're doing this deal with Mercedes, and you got Tidal Hi-Fi. And if you don't like it, you don't have to do it, but you get the first year free, and after that, you pay for it.
Yeah,
it sounds like a great idea to me.
Great idea. Great example of a great cross-pollination between two brands that are distinct and unique. And I like the fact that Tidal's aligning themselves with a luxury brand, you know, that raises the mystique or raises the interest. It's like, okay.
That's a good point.
Like,
good point.
This is not, Sprint is not a luxury brand, even though it's a huge corporation, but Mercedes is known for like the higher, finer things of like the affluent things. So to be able to have that comparison and have that in the same kind of like ecosystem together, I think works.
Which is why they're probably going with the Hi-Fi version of it.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to give you the best of the best. Right, I get it. However, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, how many people actually continue it after that 1 year is up. So you buy the the vehicle, you subscribe to the Mercedes media multimedia thing, and then you get it for a year, and then after the year, then you have to pay. So I would like to see if those numbers
like
stick.
15, it's like 15, right? Or is it higher?
I think it's 20. I think it's either it's 15 or 20 bucks. Yeah, and that's not for the hi-fi, because after the subscription is up, you go back, you go down to the pretty much the baseline subscription. So you don't get the hi-fi. Okay.
So that's $9.95.
Okay.
And then that's like $9.95, then it's like 12 something for the family. But you know, the hi-fi is, it is up there.
Yeah, it's a dub, you're right.
That's like that's a lot of money for something I'm not watching. I guess you are watching stuff though.
I mean, but if you spend a lot of time in your car, I mean, hey, it's perfect.
I think it's a brilliant sort of move across the board. I agree with everything you said, especially aligning yourself with a luxury brand. But let me ask you this. We talk so much about, you know, the blocking the whole net neutrality, and you know, these companies coming in and maybe being able to sell you a slower Wi-Fi or a faster Wi-Fi, and you know, and all these different things on the net. Isn't Tidal doing that with this whole hi-fi versus lo-fi situation? It's almost like you can have this version, but if you want the really good music, you have to pay more money. Like, why not? I don't understand that. Isn't that like...
No, that's the same thing as saying, hey, we'll give you 1080 versus 4K. You know, it's still the same footage. Right. Like, the music that you listen to on Apple Music and Spotify is the baseline that you get from Tidal. So we're giving you an extra perk. We're making our music, you know, we're giving you the full fidelity of the music. So it's not as compressed as everywhere else.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Okay, I'll buy that. I was confused, concerned about that, but I'll buy that. All right, yeah. So good for, I mean, I'm we'll see. We'll see what the retention is on that, but it seems to be going well. Walmart is teaming up with Google to take on Amazon. We keep kind of circling back to the story, but it's happening. It's really happening. Walmart is really going to team up with Google to be able to, like, for you to order from the vast... Walmart online, Walmart.com is kind of no joke. I mean, Walmart is no joke as, you know, the amount of stores they have and the amount of people they employ, yep, and what they do to China. But you can't then sleep on Walmart.com. That also is no Amazon, but they're trying to say that, look, whatever Amazon can do, Walmart.com can do, especially if we team up with Google, mm-hmm, especially if we do things like you can talk to your Google assistant and say, yo, I need some new underwear, yeah, and the shit comes to your house.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do you think of that?
I mean, I think this is a strategy that I'm seeing Google do more often than not. Like, we've seen them do this going against Uber, where they partner with Lyft. And so now they're partnering with, you know, Walmart, another major company to battle their foe. And I mean, Amazon in this space obviously is killing it with their acquisition of Whole Foods and their ability to distribute products very swiftly, very cost effectively. And so, yeah, that's taking a huge chunk out of the bottom line for Walmart. And so, yeah, I think this partnership and alignment is good because there's two titans now instead of just one. So they can use the technology that Google offers. They can use the retail and distribution experience that Walmart offers and try to figure out how to smash their competitor. And I think it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting battle. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
I really think that Walmart, if Walmart's going to sort of break through, and I guess maybe they don't need my help because they seem to be doing just fine, They still need a brand overhaul. I know they tried this about 5 years ago. They tried to make the greener Walmarts, to try to do one that was like nicer design, like a Target.
Oh, you mean like a brick and mortar overhaul?
I think a brand perception overhaul. Mm. Maybe brick and mortar, maybe logo, maybe everything else. It's just Walmart has such a, yeah, you know, red state, you know, connotation to it, or just like it's nothing about that. Not that it has to be a luxury brand, yeah, but you have Target and Walmart, which are essentially the same store, mm-hmm, and Target's positioned itself as the retailer of the metropolitan, yeah, and the suburbs, yeah, whereas Walmart has positioned itself as the retail of the farm, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, and it's the fact that that's really hurting Walmart overall brand with consumers in the city, because Walmarts aren't even allowed, and you can't get a Walmart in a Metro Los Angeles, in a Metro San Francisco, in a Metro New York. They won't let them in. So I wonder if that's something's going to happen to that. Meanwhile, Target, they're in.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
I mean, when you juxtapose bottom lines, Target and Walmart, just no comparison. So even if they don't have the same prestige or the same type of maybe feeling you get when you think of Target. Like, they're still making that money around the world, you know right. what I'm saying? And so, and also, like, Walmarts are usually twice as big as Targets. So, I mean, I think that's a big reason why they're not, you know, as saturated in cities as Targets are. But I feel you are right in the sense that there is a stigma, at least maybe for us city folks, of what Walmart is. Like, it's not our first place of choice to shop. So.
Right.
Even if there is a Google alignment.
Right. I just really have an aversion to Walmart. I really, if I have to step into Walmart, I'm like, ew. Yeah. But whatever. nothing to do with Facebook, then I'd really be out. But so there's this new thing is that, you know, we talk about smart glasses and smart glass. There's these new augmented reality smart glasses. Well, not new, I should say, but they're being used in airports in Singapore to help them sort of check cargo details instantly. And I look at the video that they have over there is like hella tight. It's, mm-hmm. just, it's like you're able to look and see giant, you know, QR codes and what's in them and mm-hmm. And actually you know, be able to like not. I guess it helps with, you know, shipping and moving and getting things in and out quicker.
Right.
It's a perfect example of how augmented reality would, you know, help.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people argue that virtual reality is the one that's going to lead us into the future. But it's, I would say that it's augmented reality that has the best usefulness.
I agree.
Especially, if, you know, we talk about business and we talk about organization. Like the ability to be able to do exactly that, to be able to see what, you know, where and what things are, and be able to have that kind of give fuel to a better system, a more efficient system. And so, yeah, when you go to the airport, you have to wait in these long lines and you have to do all these things. But if the technology somehow facilitates more fluidity,
yeah.
and we can, and that helps the customer, everyone wins. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think this is a great implementation of the technology. And we used to always joke about Google Glass and how corny it is.
Yeah.
But like, hey, a Google Glass for something like this is awesome. Yeah, you know,
you're gonna have it like at the club or nothing, right? You know, at the exactly. bar. But you may have it, you know, at a very practical workplace, including things like including like surgery. You know, including like there's all kinds of things that you're doing in real time that you need to access information for. We're using your hands, and you know,
right.
That's invaluable. This is, we can kind of skip on this one, but there's a new video. There's all these drone videos coming out of the new Apple spot, but there's this new drone video showing this new Steve Jobs theater in advance of the event. And, I mean, there's nothing to say about it except it looks dope. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the campus looks fresh. We've seen it from way back from the initial renders to yep. now it actually being manifest, like the design, the... Yeah, all of the engineering that was involved in going into it, and just it's like they're putting the finishing touches on it, and yeah. I think it's fresh, man. Like the whole like kind of like progression of this, from when it was just an idea to now it actually being, you know, a destination point. So
I wonder how much of that of the unveiling of I forget what's called the circle. Is it called like Apple One or whatever the headquarters is called, the spaceship? I wonder how much of in the keynote will they be talking about the actual headquarters and the theater versus, because that's I mean, you know,
I don't think they would though, because I mean the keynote, I mean they're selling, that's right. that's their sales yeah, opportunity,
like, and check out our wonderful chefs exactly. over here. And here, yeah,
I mean, I'm sure that because they usually they do show some stuff like that, right. but I don't know how much of that they're going
to
show.
I mean, I'm very, you know, curious to see what it's like up and running and functional yeah. and in real life. I don't know. Dare I do this story? Oh, no. This is a great story. This, now, Zuckerberg may be onto something with this one. He's got this situation. Facebook's trying to negotiate with the music industry to let its millions of users and users upload songs and videos. This is direct shots fired at Google and YouTube
yep.
because right now, and Apple. It's like killing all the birds with one stone, because Apple's Apple. You can download the songs, Apple Music, yeah. Tidal, Spotify. That's all great. Do your thing. You know, YouTube. You can watch videos. You know, every Taylor Swift's got a, you know, 100 million views in a couple of weeks. That's great. But what Facebook is proposing is comes to life, where you can watch a music video on Facebook, and then from that video, download the song into your Facebook player. and keep it moving, that may be a game changer, or no?
No, I mean, I think everything that Facebook does is a I wouldn't say a game changer, but definitely a company killer.
Right.
And like I think that they've done this time and time again. We have countless examples of how they've reinvented the wheel and done something better. And so you look at YouTube and its exclusive partnership with Vevo, and that's how you get the delivery of those music videos. Yeah. And like you said, hundreds upon hundreds of millions of views. And so now you have that offering on Facebook now. That's perfect for them because, hey, what do we always say on the show? Keep them in the ecosystem. Keep them on the platform. It's like you don't want them to leave. So this is just more appetizing content for them, for the consumer, for the user to stay. And so I think it's a perfect move for them. And I think it's got YouTube, it's got Apple, it's got whoever that's in this space a little scared.
Right. I agree. I mean, it's definitely sort of a game changer because this is kind of the promise fulfilled of what we thought would be possible in the future. Like, you're watching something, you can buy it. You're listening to something, you're watching a video, you own it. Like, that takes away, I mean, from so far away from watching a video on MTV, driving down entire records and buying an album.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, this is like, watch it on your phone, own it on your phone.
Right.
Like, keep it moving. And yep. So that's something. I mean, it's not, you know, too far away from what we do now. You can watch it on Vevo and go pick it up on Spotify. But to have it all in the same ecosystem, as you said, to keep them there. Google does not want you to leave, man.
Facebook.
Sorry, Facebook. Facebook has got rooms and rooms of people trying to figure out every day how to get you to stay on Facebook.
That's right.
Stay connected. And that's what the entire thing is, which is, again, a little scary, but I can't knock the hustle at all.
Cannot.
Not at all. All right. I mean, we've done this a thousand times. The three things that'll never be same after the iPhone 8. It's an article on The Verge. They just mentioned phone screens and the use of augmented reality, which is going to be huge with this. You know, I don't know.
Hey, man, yeah. I'm always looking forward to the keynote. You know, I love the presentation. I'm not really looking forward to the iPhone. I hope they have some new stuff that they're dropping software-wise or whatever, you know. But, hey, the phone, I mean, I think what's interesting about that article, though, is that they argued that a lot of these technologies have already been invented and used and already in the marketplace. But when Apple comes to the table and says, hey, we've designed this new phone that has this great glass and blah, 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 blah. Like, and
everyone did it again.
Exactly. It's like, dog, like this type of technology has been out for almost 2 years. Like, slow
right,
up.
Right.
So, but that's fascinating because how...
And Samsung's like, come on.
Right. Like a company that has that much, you know, influence, like it just shows their ability to like sway the culture.
Yeah,
you know,
it's very true. And there's other, you know, instances in culture where that happens, where you know people like that. You know, the stories, you know, people, you've been telling them something for 2 years, and all of a sudden you're like, Akil, you know what? Fonte is a good rapper. But you know, so yeah, it's frustrating. But I mean, like Apple's earned that. They've earned it, so I don't know. And maybe, and not they don't just reintroduce it. They sometimes have to make it better.
Hey.
And make it more accessible. Or the thing that I think that, like,
make it more expensive.
They make it more expensive. But I think the thing that I will admittedly, you know, look for is that stuff may all be out there, but I'm all, that's all great. But when are they going to make it for my Apple phone? When are they going to make it for me? That's all great. When are they going to make it for my iPhone? When are they going to make the Apple version? Because I'm an Apple loyalist. So if they came out with...
Oh, I got what you said.
So when Samsung comes out with the X-ray phone from Samsung. I'm like, cool, Samsung. When's Apple going to have an X-ray phone?
Right. Because we know Apple's going to do it better.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's...
Is that more marketing? Is that a mirage? Is that actual fact?
I think it has to do with just... I think that's my point. It's a combination of they've earned that with their brand loyalty. But you don't. It's not just a marketing smoke and mirrors. It is Apple's consistently made a beautiful, good product for the last 15 years, and now here we are.
I mean, but like, they make this beautiful, clean, dope product, but you don't even give the other guy a chance. How do you know their product isn't clean, dope, and beautiful?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care. Like, don't keep good. It moving.
I don't know. I don't like the name. It's Galaxy. I'm good.
Wow. Wow.
Moving on. This is an interesting, really interesting story in terms of landscape entertainment. The rights for James Bond films are up And, you know, Sony had them for the last couple of years and made a couple movies. And, you know, there's been some debate over how much these movies make and how much this franchise makes. Sony famously, during that leak, it came out that Sony said Spectre had a gross, if Spectre grossed $1.1 billion, and with a budget of $250 million, then the studio would earn $35 million. That's a lot to steep. Steve, to get your $35 million, you got to make a billion. So that's a steep curve.
Yeah, man.
So, and of course, it fell 200 short of that. So I'm not sure what the studio made on that, if anything. But the point that I'm making is it's up. And it's still, that being said, it's still a very, very much wanted franchise for a studio or someone. And looks like the traditional studios aren't the only ones, because Apple and Amazon are throwing their hats in the ring. They want in on the James Bond franchise. They want in on, you know, seeing what James Bond's going to be for this next generation and reinventing them and making that and keeping that IP in a world of superheroes and Batman. I mean, there's very few that legacy IP left. So they're trying to Star Wars. So they're trying to snatch it up. It looks like Warner Brothers has got the front, you know. The inside track, but I don't know. Would that be cool if Apple or Amazon?
Heck yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I think you're straight on with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're on with that point in terms of it being such a legacy property and, you know, generation, it being transgenerational. Like, we all get to experience James Bond in our own unique way. And we always have, like, kind of like the barbershop talk, who's the best James Bond? Or, like, all that is great. And, like, I think that, you know, we talk about, you know, Marvel, when we talk about DC and how they've kind of expanded the pantheon of the characters into the movies, like, I don't know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for them to do that with the Bond franchise. We only seen it kind of done in one way, you know, one way in. So, like, maybe figuring out if there's, like, a way to create more of an ensemble approach, or maybe, like, come from a villain perspective. Like, I think there's just a lot of creative clay that could be, you know, molded with the franchise, and to be able to have a partnership that's, you know, untraditional, like not a traditional film studio that acquires it. I think that would be fire. Actually,
yeah, I do too. We talk about the universes all the time. You see what DC is doing with you know, the Joker. You know, really, I mean, you know, they have Suicide Squad and the Joker and expanding things out. Now you see what Marvel's doing. Disney's doing with Star Wars with the Han Solo movie and the Rogue One and just and the Obi-Wan movie, and just expand this universe out further and further. You may have a Moneypenny movie, or you may have a Odd Job, or a, you know. Whoever, Felix Leiter,
right,
or a Octopussy.
Yeah, that's gonna be the one you gonna star in.
Or the Pussy Galore. I mean, you know, man.
Hey,
I never want to say it. James Bond got a lot. He needs a lot of. I won't say it. James Bond meets a lot of pussy.
Hey, of course he does. Of course he does.
The Octopussy, Pussy Galore. Anyway, all right.
They should have fucking made James Bond black, like with Idris. They fucked up with that one. Anyway,
well, you know, I mean, you know, like as the Fleming family said, he's a little too urban,
right?
Too street. Well, it's rather too street.
Wow,
he's a little too street. Not in a bad way though.
Oh yeah,
he's, you know, he's just a little too street.
Right, not cleaned up enough. Huh?
You know.
Okay.
doing this crazy, like,
man.
Anyway, speaking of Star Wars and Marvel. Man, you know, it looks like the Star Wars universe is continues to be troubled when they're directing. Colin Trevorrow is out of Episode 9. You know, it seems to be amicable. It seems to be early on, but, like, you know, they just seem like Kathleen Kennedy and them just sort of say it's not right. You know, the collaboration's not right, and they're parting ways now, as opposed to getting into another Lord Miller situation or anything else. So, or, you know, what happened with Gareth on Rogue One, where he quietly had to step aside and let the homeboy come in and direct it for $5 million. But I mean, are you worried about this? I mean, the only one that seems to have this thing wired right now is Rian Johnson, who is a cold-blood director, Looper. I mean, Rian Johnson's dope, so we heard no problems on Episode 8. Episode 8 seems to be fire, so I don't know.
I mean, I think they're becoming notorious for firing directors, number one. And then I think it does raise some concern, is because, hey, what was the procedures that went in place for you to hire them in the first place? Because shouldn't there have been some type of creative synergy before that. Like, yeah. So you go down this long line and you explore through actually creating it, and now you figure out, we don't have the juice. No, like,
it's just who's hot young director, like who's hot.
I think that's concerning. Yeah. I think that's alarming. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think it'll be right. I don't think they're gonna release something that's not gonna be right. So
do you think they're gonna go with a veteran like with Han Solo? They brought in Ron Howard. They just brought in a veteran just to lock it down. I think they go with someone like this, talk of J.J. Abrams just to lock it down. They're so happy with Rian Johnson. They're like, shit, just let Rian Johnson do 9 too.
DeBonet, Ava.
Yeah, well,
and go with her.
Thank you. That's the other thing. I mean, Ava is locked down with Disney. She's done a huge Disney movie now, Wrinkle in Time. And I guess if that's, we'll see if that's a success.
Yeah, it will be.
If that's a hit and that's success, then, you know, that proves that Ava can do. And that's a $150 million movie,
yeah.
You know, a beloved property.
Right.
So if she pulls that off, that's the same thing. Also, I mean, look, man, like.
I guess what I'm saying is.
You got Coogler. You got.
Yeah, go with the person of color.
Barry Jenkins, man. You got Patty Jenkins. She ain't a part of the club, but she, you know. She's,
or go. Yeah, go
a
with,
woman.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
I like that tweet. You know, yeah. What I'm saying? Like, it doesn't. I mean, give someone else an opportunity.
Yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Much. You know,
and these were very obscure. I mean, not Rian Johnson, but you know, I don't know. They're picking these some of these directors. I mean, there's plenty of us out here now who are making noise and who need that next level shot. Now, Coogler's getting it Ava DuVernay's getting it. Get Barry Jenkins out there.
Yeah,
you know. So anyway. Let we move on to your boy. This is your boy. Your boy, sir. Martin Scorsese.
No, sir.
Martin Scorsese, the farmer bro who was jacking up the prices.
The farmer bro?
That's what they call him, the farmer bro. He's a wow. Pharmaceutical
oh, okay.
guy.
That's right.
He works in big pharma. He was the guy who notoriously jacked up the price of that life-saving drug because he knew people needed it. So he jacked it up to like something like
500 bucks a pill.
Something, yeah. I thought it was like more than that. It was like some crazy amount of pill, trying to make that money. And he's also the guy who, as a fan of music, snapped up the Wu-Tang Clan single album for $2 million. And he had it. And now he's kind of upset because everyone's mad at him and saying, what you know about Wu-Tang? And you're just this and you're just that. So he's like, well, we'll see what you know about Wu-Tang. You can buy it if you can afford it. That's how I'm taking this. So he put it on eBay. He started bidding at $1,000, $100,000. Basically, this is for him his way of proving that no one wanted this more than me, and I did the best. I did the best service. But if you guys want it, you can buy it then. Well, otherwise, shut up.
I think he's on his way to jail. So I think he is on his way to jail.
I know, he's trying
to... This is a way for him to, I guess, bring more attention to himself. Like the fact that he went about all of this in this weird ass way, like, and now he's selling it for $100,000. Like, he even made a statement saying that, hey, I might, you know, even though someone might bid higher than me or whatever, or I still might pull it and keep it. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to get attention. He's an attention whore.
Yeah.
And I will say that, you know,
and that, you know, Wu-Tang,
for the Wu-Tang fans,
it's not gonna save him from the ass whooping in prison either.
Exactly. the Shaolin will get
him. I like the Wu-Tang though. about the album.
Liquid swords will come get him.
But yeah, he's he said that he'll donate half the money to medical research. That's not even to charity, not even to like a specific charity, but to medical research. That's probably his own company.
Exactly.
You know. Anyway, yeah, he's something else. I don't like that dude at all. Tomorrow, It. Stephen King drops. They got the It Experience, and they're over there in Hollywood. The giant house you can walk through.
Yep.
Oh, Marissa, that's unnecessary. No one needs to see that, Marissa. That's highly unnecessary. I was cool with this one. I am not a fan of Pennywise. Like, Tim Curry's Pennywise scared the hell out of me. The idea of Pennywise scared the hell out of me in the book. Like, I am not checking for this movie.
Why not, brother? You're not going to stand in line for this one?
I'm too scared. I think about it's dope. I think it looks great. It looks like they're really close to what this is supposed to be. But man,
yeah, because the technology is there. Because I think the last time they didn't have the right they didn't have the right look and feel because of the lack of technology. The whole stop motion.
Oh yeah, the spider thing.
Execution of that was just really corny.
But
so now there's no limits.
Tim Curry was super creepy and scary as the clown, but when you get into all the supernatural stuff, it's like you can't do that in 1990 ABC budget.
Exactly.
Technology. So I think this will be dope.
Yeah, I think it'll be dope too.
Okay, well, that's all I got, man. That's all I got. Anything else?
No, man. Nah, not at all, man. Just, yeah. Summer's coming to an end.
Summer is, yeah. Come to an abrupt halt.
Yeah.
The Jay-Z tour is going to kick off sooner or later. I hope that we get an opportunity, at least me and hopefully us, get to go down to Austin City Limits and check it out. Check out Jay-Z. I don't know. That's all I got. Oh, did you watch any of the Made in America stuff on Tidal?
Nah, I didn't have time over the weekend to watch it. But I did read a few things about it. But, I mean, hey.
What were their views? What were people saying?
Saying it was good. Like, the atmosphere, the fact that, you know, even though it was raining, the weather wasn't, you know, the best, that the vibe was still there.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Jay-Z did his thing. I think that was, like, the first time he performed the album. So yeah, I'm excited to see him, you know, perform the album. Like, I've heard him in a few interviews discussing kind of like how this is going to be different than some of his previous tours and just what he's doing, like as like set and like backdrop and like how he's going to tie in kind of like all his other songs with the newer songs on 444. So I'm excited to see actually what he does. So
yeah,
maybe I will go back and check it out on Tidal to see how that first run was. But yeah, we'll see.
It's there, right? We can go check it out on Tidal.
You should be able to.
Okay, cool. I don't know if it was like a one-time stream.
Nah.
Okay.
I mean, are you a subscriber of Tidal? Because I remember that when we talked about this a while back, you were not. You did not support the brother.
No, I am a subscriber of Tidal.
Okay.
I am supporting him. But he ain't going to give me for that dub, bro. For sure. The high five. I'm still dubious on the high five situation. I really need to have someone like sit me down and play something on both sides.
I'm not dubious about that.
You think it's real?
Yeah, it's definitely real. But okay. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for my current lifestyle? No. Like if I was at home and I just, you know, I'm going to sit and drink tea or beer and just listen to music,
right?
Then that would be perfect.
On your perfect stuff.
Exactly.
Like, but on just a normal fidelity, normal range headphones, you can't tell, right?
No, you could tell.
Okay.
You could tell on any speaker. But I feel like, is it worth that extra $10? No, it's not.
All right. I don't think so either.
And also, last point, it depends on what you're listening to, right. I think, as well. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. We will see you next week on GNT. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Where can they find you, sir?
Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. And out in these streets, not really. See you next week. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.